Herbs in Action. Reflections and stories from the Phipps Conservatory and Botanical Gardens Botany in Action Fellows discussing herbs from around the world.
My name is Stephen Murphy. I'm a PhD candidate at Ohio State University. For the past 2 years, I've been studying in southwestern Pennsylvania, looking at how white-tailed deer herbivory influences seedling regeneration and how forests change over time. The herb that I'm interested in is called tea berry. The Latin name for that is Gaultheria procumbens. It's also known as wintergreen. The reason that I'm really interested in it is it's, for one, really common where I work in southwestern Pennsylvania. It's found mostly on acidic soils, so it's a lot like rhododendron. The reason that it's really interesting is if you take the leaves and break them and smell them, it has this really, really strong wintergreen smell. In a lot of places where it grows commonly, it's a really popular flavoring in things like ice cream. Obviously, wintergreen gum is a common use of it, and that's actually where the flavoring came from. It also has a lot of medicinal properties. It has salicylic acid in it, which is the same thing that aspirin has. So just like aspirin, it's a NSAID pain reliever, like joint pain, arthritis, as well as things like headaches. All of those can be used with tea berry. The Native Americans have been using it in poultices that they would rub on their joints. So there's a lot of different uses of it. You can't just eat it. So it's actually the oils that come from the leaves where both the flavoring comes from and the medicinal properties come from. You'd have to do some sort of extraction of that oil in some way, be it, you know, breaking the leaves open, pouring boiling water over it to make some sort of tea, or actually crushing the leaves up and mixing it with water or other sort of substance to actually rub on your joints or something like that. So I don't think you'd be able to just eat the leaves as they are. So there's definitely some sort of processing that needs to be done first. My experience is just finding it in the forest understory. I don't have any experience with people actually planting and cultivating it, but I don't see why you wouldn't be able to, except for the fact that it does need shaded conditions. So if you just planted this in a typical herb garden that you would think of, it would probably have a little bit too much light, so you'd have to do some sort of shade cover over it. So it might be a little bit tricky to grow, but it's pretty common, so you could easily find it just growing in the woods. It only gets a couple inches tall. It has sort of leathery leaves like you would think that a rhododendron would have, except that they're much smaller and they're a little bit more oval-shaped than a rhododendron would be. But they do have that really kind of thick, leathery leaf like you would think a rhododendron has.
Herbs in Action is a collaboration between Phipps Conservatory and Botanical Gardens and the Saturday Light Brigade, and is made possible by the Mary Jane Berger Memorial Foundation, dedicated to educating the community about the many benefits and uses of herbs. To hear this feature again, or to learn more about herbs from around the world, visit mjbergerfoundation.org.